Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Tara.
All right, so the Upstate, incredibly, the fourth most moved to destination in the entire country right now. Can you tell when you go down Woodruff Road?
Yeah, and a few others I could think of, too.
Yeah, absolutely fascinated by this. Pods, you know, people are using pods for moving now. I didn't realize they did that.
Yeah,
that's actually kind of smart. Instead of, you know, U-Hauls, okay, using pods for moving, right? Yeah. Okay, cool, get it. So they know where people are coming from and where people are going to. And like our ancestors, the huddled masses who escaped corrupt, evil, mean, and just quite frankly incompetent leaders to come here to America for a better life. Well, we're on the move again. Except it's inside this country, and they're fleeing Democrat metropolises.
The tyrants are on this side of the Atlantic.
Yes, they are. Yes. The number one most moved from destination in the country, Los Angeles, California. Number two, San Fran. The others, Long Island, San Diego, Central Jersey, Chicago, Boston, Hudson Valley, New York, and Denver, Colorado. Where are they coming to? And this is bad news if you live here, right? They're coming here. Incredibly, top 10 destinations in the entire country to move to are all in North and South Carolina. Four of the top 10, excuse me. Number one, Myrtle Beach, or as some are calling it this weekend, Murder Beach, depending. Myrtle Beach. And this always baffles people. I lived there. It's actually a wonderful place to live, believe it or not. You have the kind of icky vacation side. It's a little rundown, a little weird, a little sketch. But you have the actual like residential side of it with the schools. It's actually quite good. Believe it or not, it's a really nice place to live. So Myrtle Beach, number one, most moved to destination in the entire country. Number two, Ocala, Florida. Number three, Raleigh, North Carolina. And number four, here, Greenville, Spartanburg. Number five, I just like to read them all so we see how we stack up. Dallas, Fort Worth, Lee. Number six, Charlotte. After that, Boise, Idaho. Love Idaho. It's beautiful. Number eight, Knoxville, Tennessee. Number nine, Nashville, Tennessee. Number 10, Jacksonville, Florida. So all of those red states, red areas. So what do you think we can do to keep them out, Lee? There's got to be something we can do. Can we play up crime? Well, is there something? We need an angle.
I'm afraid there's nothing we can do that wouldn't make stuff rough for those of us who are already here. So
yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyway, I was just hoping to kind of move in, love the place, slam the door behind me, you know what I mean? But no such luck.
Yeah, that's kind of hard to do.
Yeah. So, but just interesting to me that four of the top five are North Carolina, South Carolina. Of the top 10 are North Carolina, South Carolina.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
In fact, if you look at just the top five, gosh, three of the top five most moved to destinations are South Carolina or North Carolina. So a lot of the country moving here.
Yeah, I see it all the time. And, you know, I live in Anderson County, and I see that going on there, especially because I'm almost at a point where I've got to find a different way to get to Anderson. I've got mother-in-law that lives in Anderson. We do some shopping in there occasionally. So, you know, it's almost at a point where there's so many new subdivisions and housing developments and things that are, you know, beginning to clog up the roadways that it's just like I'm almost ready to start taking the interstate to Anderson.
Jeez. Don't do that. You'll get slapped run over. Yeah. It's crazy. And you know, it's so funny over the weekend at Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle made the news for the most people shot over Memorial Day weekend. So that was exciting. 10 in at a pop.
Luckily, no one died.
Well, normally that's Chicago making those headlines. And then, you know, talk radio talks about it on Monday, the violence and stuff. But no, it was North Myrtle.
And then what's interesting is we've got a similar situation in Philly. You had a shooting up there. Sadly, two people died there. There's several young people that were injured. And then, of course, you got a similar situation at that boat at a dock in Little River, you know, over the weekend, as you were talking about. So,
yeah. Put the guns down if you are drinking alcohol and partying. Never a good look. But anyway, so all of that is going on. Meanwhile, you know how Donald Trump, Lee, keeps trying to tell us that election was stolen from him in 2020 and people just roll their eyes? A lot of people do.
Yeah.
Not us, but a lot of people in the media. Well, the weirdest thing happened. All in podcast, right?
Yeah.
Which is just basically a bunch of billionaire boys sitting around. They had Antonio Gracias on And it came out over the weekend. He's a member of Doge and a gazillionaire in his own right. Very successful guy, friend of Elon Musk. Okay. So he's running part of the Doge operation. Several of them, actually, but one of them where they're looking at illegal immigrant voting. What did they do? He started off in the Social Security databases, realizing, wow, Joe Biden is illegally giving Social Security numbers to millions of illegals. Then they said, what are these illegals doing with this, right? There's a lot of fraud, corruption, stuff. And then they realize they're registering to vote. Well, wait, no, what? No, that's illegal. You cannot do that. You cannot.
We're told that didn't happen.
Well, yes, of course, it didn't happen, right? Except it did. Then they're like, did they vote? They didn't vote. They voted. They voted. Take a listen. This is his update. And he's very tongue-in-cheek here, but I want you to hear it because this vindicates Trump. Now, keep in mind as I'm saying this, okay, we have another vindication 3 weeks ago when a federal court finally ruled, America's First Legal did the case that Arizona must remove 50,000 illegals off their rolls. By the way, it is a crime to register. It's also a crime to vote. How many of them voted in 2020? 36,000. How much did Biden win the state by? 11,000. So in other words, who won Arizona in 2020? We'll never know, Lee. We will never know. So the good news is America's First Legal, which is Stephen Miller, Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller's group, did get a federal ruling. So it acknowledges, one, 50,000 illegally registered. Two, they got to be removed off the rolls. That's a huge victory for Trump. But I want you to hear Antonio Gracias on the All In podcast talking about what they're finding. And he says, we're going to find out more. We're still digging into this. In other words, Trump's not wrong.
You found some people who were illegal immigrants who registered to vote? This is confounding.
Yes, this is actually true. We've sampled a handful of states. And in those handful of states, we found people registered to vote. And we have found people who actually voted. And this is all being done by sampling, okay? So we are sampling DHS data and then have to go to the voter rolls, check the voter rolls, and then give that to HSI, Homeland Security Investigations, who goes and checks the voter record by subpoena and the cards you sign when you vote. We had already 3 arrests here in Florida, actually.
Wow.
And 1 indictment in New York. They illegally secured Social Security numbers through the process we talked about last time, asylum or some special program or whatever, and they registered to vote, and they actually voted in 2020 and or 2024. I just want to say this carefully. 3 have been arrested, and 1 has been indicted. The one we indicted, I want to just stop on this guy for a minute. He's an Iraqi national. He voted in 2020 in New York. He went to prison for shooting somebody, shot some guy's hand off, has charged, if I remember correctly, $160,000 or $70,000 of benefits through Medicaid, and is now in Iraq because he's active on his Facebook page, and the IP address is from Iraq.
Is that the tip of the iceberg?
I'm going to leave the data. So I'm now leaving the data, and I'm entering the area of my opinion. My opinion is that this is the tip of the iceberg. How big the iceberg is, I don't know. And I don't want to speculate because I think it would be not the right thing we can do at this moment. I think we'll have more data over time. But for sure, if we can sample out of a database and it takes an engineer about a day to find 20-ish cases, that gives you an idea of how many there are, right? Here's the reality. Every vote that is cast illegally in America nullifies the vote of an American citizen. It is your constitutional right to vote in America. And if we don't have a zero defect system, we are violating your constitutional rights.
You found some people.
So, Lee, he said on another podcast that they were only able to really check the rolls in a couple of red states that would allow them to check the rolls. Yeah. Imagine what we find in a blue state. Imagine what we find in Arizona where Democrats control the voter registration. That's why we had to sue them. This is going to be a massive scandal. Doge is not done. They made that clear over the weekend, even though Elon Musk is kind of giving up. Doge is not done. It's going on. It's going to roll. Scott Bessent said the same thing. They're still working on that. And Antonio Gracias is saying we're still working on it. Hang on. There's going to be more. So looks like Democrats already had their illegal immigrants voting. We didn't have to wait for the amnesty. So just one of the many scandals that we learned about over the weekend. I'll have another one of those coming up next. Lee, how do you miss? What kind of financial controls? How do you miss 1.4 million illegal immigrant adults on Medicaid? How does that happen?
You have to try to do that.
Thank you. Yes. You have to try. You are literally aiding and abetting the fraud, if not outright committing it yourself. 1.4 million illegals enrolled in Medicaid. Again, you have to be a U.S. citizen to get Medicaid. By the way, Lee, if you're here on a visa, but legally, you're not allowed to get Medicaid. You're not. And they were. But not anymore. And that's one of the good things about the big, beautiful bill. I don't like the amount of spending, but there's actually a lot of good stuff in it. And that's part of it. We'll get into that coming up next. Oops. Did somebody register 1.4 million illegal immigrants on Medicaid? Shucks. Now, if you're a Democrat right now and you take in Democrat media, in other words, you're lied to all day, you are in overt terror right now because the evil Republicans are, of course, going to cut Medicaid because they're just mean and they're going to just, you know, turn some people right out of the hospital. And what? Wait a minute. Okay. New York Post quotes Matt Iglesias, who's lying like everybody else on the left about this, called it a war on the poor, arguing that the big, beautiful bill cuts to Medicaid will cause 8.6 million people to lose their health insurance. People. Well, what kind of people are we talking about? Well, like illegal immigrant kind of people. Well, wait a minute. By law, they can't be on Medicaid. That would constitute fraud. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're saying they want to keep the fraud. That's what they're saying. Never mind, another 4.8 million are fraudulent. For the most part, they're people registered in more than one state, or they're people who have absolutely no right to Medicaid. Wait a minute. What is going on here? Okay. Let's start with this. Here's Dr. Oz explaining this situation. He oversees Medicare and Medicaid. And again, we're not talking about Medicare. We're talking about Medicaid, which is for the poor. Medicare is for older people.
The buck stops here. We've got to clean up the system. There, you know, we're not paying $200 million for housekeeping anymore a year. We're not going to pay for illegal immigrants in states that are submitting those claims. Why should people living in Mississippi or Texas or Florida be paying for illegal immigrants getting health care in California? Yeah. As a nation, we need to, you know, be aligned to make this work.
Okay. House Speaker Mike Johnson said the same thing.
We are not cutting Medicaid in this package. There's a lot of misinformation out there about this, Jake. The numbers of Americans who are affected are those that are entwined in our work to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse. And what do I mean by that? You got more than 1.4 million illegal aliens on Medicaid. Medicaid is not intended for non-U.S. citizens.
It's
intended for the most vulnerable populations of Americans, which is pregnant women and young single mothers, the disabled, the elderly. They are protected in what we're doing because we're preserving the resources for those who need it most. You're talking about 4.8 million able-bodied workers, young men, for example, who are on Medicaid and not working. They are choosing not to work when they can. That is called fraud. They are cheating the system. When you root out those kinds of abuses, you save the resources that are so desperately needed by the people who deserve it and need it most. That's what we're doing.
Okay. So let's start here. Are they cutting Medicaid? Unfortunately, no. I'm actually upset about this. They should cut Medicaid, but they're not. What they are actually doing, according to the New York Post, slowing the Medicaid program's further spending growth over the coming decade. So instead of growing at 4.6% per year, it will now only grow at 3.7%. It's not getting cut. Unfortunately, I wish they had. It's not. Except the illegal immigrants. Now, this is so crazy. New York Post writes, the program, Medicaid, is so poorly designed that the only two major audits done in recent years both suggested that a full quarter, that's 25% of the spending, is improper, fraudulent, or otherwise. Whether on beneficiaries who don't actually qualify to providers who don't qualify in a truly vast amount of outright criminal fraud. Who is it? Now, here's the funniest part. Who is doing this? Let me tell you what happened here, okay? While the Democrats scream, you're cutting Medicaid, you're cutting Medicaid, what they're actually cutting is illegals off Medicaid. How did the illegals get on Medicaid? What's actually happening here is Democrat states were committing large-scale fraud to put the illegals on Medicaid rolls and stick the U.S. taxpayers with the bill for their future voters, people they think are going to be their future voters. DOGE busted them. And the GOP is ending Medicaid payments for at least 1.4 million illegals as part of the big, beautiful bill. One of the things I really like about it. Democrat governors then turned around and did exactly what Trump is doing, kicking illegals off the Medicaid rolls. Why? Because, well, now they got to pay for it. They can't steal the money from the federal taxpayers to pay for it by allowing fraud, by allowing these illegals to sign up at the state level. And by the way, in California, advertising and begging them to do it, same in Minnesota, now they're having to kick them off the rolls. Why? Because they can't stick me and you with the bill. Doge busted them. So Democrats are lying, claiming Trump is taking people's Medicaid away when it's only illegals and able-bodied men who do not qualify. You have to meet the 80-hour-a-week work requirement. They just weren't checking. And so that's a massive problem here. So what is going on? If you watch what's going on, all of this sudden, about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when they announced this, hey, Doge has found these illegals are illegally registered. A lot of them are in California. They're in states like Minnesota. They're all in blue states for the most part. Not all of them, but a lot of them. They don't have the controls. That's on purpose. All of a sudden, Democrats start kicking illegals off the rolls. It's true. Do you know who just announced he's kicking illegals off the rolls after Gavin Newsom did it? Because they can't steal the money from you anymore? Wannabe vice presidential bro Tim Walz. This got so violent, yes, violent, that he had to hold the press conference announcing it behind locked doors, where he only let a couple members of the media in, right? Why? Because Democrat lawmakers who are pro-illegal immigrant, they're lawless, they're Democrats, and their activists were smashing their fists against the door, trying to break it down so they could protest Tim Walz. And then they start screaming at him and chanting at him because they want him to steal the money from us through fraud, because that's how they were doing it, to pay for the illegal immigrants. Here's what that sounded like. So you can't see this. They're slamming their bodies against the door to try to get in. Tim Walz trying to lock out. These are his own voters, his own party. Some of them are Democrat lawmakers. And they're yelling, one Minnesota right. In other words, we want to be united with our illegal friends. And we want Americans to pay for their health insurance. Well, Tim Walz can't do it without the fraud. It's glorious. Folks, I just got to ask a question. It's just a silly question. Sorry. Republicans have been funding this crap because we have been in charge since 2022. How do you miss 1.4 million illegals? Said it once, I'll say it a million times. Thank God for Doge. I just, you know, I feel bad that Elon Musk feels disrespected and that he, you know, basically quit this weekend because he accomplished so much. I know he didn't get everything he wanted because the Republican leadership sucks in Congress, but gosh, did he do a lot. 1.4 million illegals? They were going to not only make us fund the destruction of America and the replacement of our own votes, they were going to make us pay for their medical care while they outvote us. It's outrageous. And they caught it and they stopped it. And that's awesome. Okay, producer Tim, got to ask you this. I don't know if you saw this. Okay, if you didn't. The video, you know, the president of France, right? The leader of France, Emmanuel Macron.
I do, yeah.
Did you see the video of his wife slapping him?
Oh my goodness, no.
Grabbing him by, has your wife ever done this? To just grab your face and basically slap shove you by your face in public?
No. It would be bad if she did that. Yeah, no.
Well, no, if you haven't seen the video, okay, if you did this in public, just here in South Carolina, like say, for instance, here at the grocery store or something, I don't know, you're out to dinner, you could have the police called on you. That is assault. You don't get to do that to your spouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I think any normal person would, you know, call the cops or something.
Yeah, I mean, my husband would never do this. He's a sweet guy, but I mean, grab me by my face and shove me around in public. I mean, we'd call the police.
Of course, yeah. My wife, too. I mean, she would call the police.
Right, right. No, I mean, you can't be doing that, right?
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing nobody's saying. This was a top 10 in the country story. Do you know the background of Emmanuel Macron and his wife?
I do not.
Okay. This is going to blow your mind. I wanted to blow your mind live on radio, right? Because okay. I got nothing else to do this morning. Okay. Emmanuel Macron is 47 years old. His wife is 72.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, she is very well preserved. And I'm talking hundreds of thousands of plastic surgery it must have taken to look like that. But yes, 72 years old.
Robbing the cradle, gotcha.
Well, now, see, I'm glad you brought that up. Because when you see this video, There's a whole other angle to it beside the assault angle. And you know how there's these sort of whispers about the elites in the world and pedophilia and really weird kid things that
yes.
they seem to want us to tolerate?
Yes.
You could see that coming out of the EU. I mean, their recommendations and the UN recent recommendations like, hey, we need to go ahead and, you know, make it legal for adults and children to have sexual relationships. We need to go ahead and get rid of those laws. Love is love, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that was a recommendation of the UN, what, last year?
Yeah, it's seeping out everywhere in elite circles now.
Yeah, it's weird. We get these little hints of it all over the place, right?
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. California, they're constantly trying to undo these laws. Hey, take it from a felony to a misdemeanor so adults and kids can hook up, right? So a lot of paranoia around that. And maybe for, you know, not for good reason. Listen to this. Okay. Emmanuel Macron, who is 47, married to his wife, who is 72. Do you know when he met her?
He
was 15.
15. Oh, my God.
He was in her daughter's class at the school where she taught.
Wow.
They had an affair that started when he was 15.
Dude, that's disgusting.
She was 39.
39, 15. Well, I guess this would be about, what, 20 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. Okay. So in January 2006, she divorces her husband. The next year, she marries Emmanuel Macron. They have had this relationship since he was a minor. So he is a world leader married to his pedophile abuser. And everyone treats this like it's just, well, she's normal.
Yeah, I just, why? Like,
that's what I said.
Why do people do this? Like, it's weird.
Well, yeah, it's also illegal. And so think about that. How many times you can go and look them up? I mean, they're standing next to the Trumps on the red carpet. They're standing next to, you know, other, you know, the Bidens on the red carpet. Everybody's acting like this is all very normal. And his wife looks his age if you don't, you know, zoom in too tight on her.
And nobody's called him out for this.
Not really.
I would. I would definitely.
Now go back in just in the back. See, I knew you wouldn't know. I knew you wouldn't know the details of this. That's why I want to hit you with it. I want to see what like a normal average person how they react to finding this out. Okay. Right. So I'm doing an experiment on you live on radio. Hope you don't mind.
Yay.
No problem. Okay. So now go back and when you get a chance at the break, take a look at the Macron video where his wife is grabbing him by the face and like shoving his face.
Okay.
It is the continuation of an abusive relationship. That started when he was 15, she was 39. So not only are they, you know, she's a pedophile. She apparently slaps him around too, and he's the leader of France.
Yeah, yeah. Who's really running the country?
I know, but he's also a world leader of NATO. I mean, the big powers in NATO who are on their way to World War III with Russia as we speak are Germany and France and the UK, but mainly Germany and France. And there's his wife. If you see the video, he doesn't realize he's on camera. She literally shoves his head in his body so he goes like bouncing out to where he is on camera. He turns, realizes he's on camera, and his face goes from angry to like this fake smile.
Nah, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just completely like, did you really just do that in front of all these people?
It's an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Hardcore abusive relationship. So then a few minutes later, they have to come down the stairs out of the airplane. And he's trying to recover, like, politically. And he offers her his arm, like, okay. And she refuses it. So I'm like, what? Does she want to beat him some more? And then what?
You just wait till we get home.
Ground to pound him. I don't know.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Yeah.
I mean, Lord. No wonder the poor guy had a what looked like a baggie of cocaine he was sharing the week before.
Just
by the way,
numb his face, yeah.
Did you see that part? It sure looked like he was sharing a bag of cocaine with Keir Starmer.
I did not. I have the video pulled up. I'm going to look at it during the break.
You got to look. I mean, both of them. It looks like a bag. But now I understand why he needs a bag of cocaine. I mean, look, he's been a child sex abuse victim since the time he was a kid. He married his abuser, and now she beats him. I mean, I'd probably need to do cocaine too.
Yeah, yeah. Got to curb that.
Not that I would.
That pain. Yeah. Yes.
I would never do that. Obviously, if kids are listening, I forget his summer. Can't say things like that. But okay, no, never do that. But yeah, no, weird, right?
Yeah, that's definitely strange. That's a strange situation.
Yeah.
I don't understand why. Like, why are these, like, I mean, because you see this all the time, you know, teachers, you know, with male students. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, no, and we see it in the news here, and it's a terrible scandal, and they get arrested. Like that woman, in, I think she was Texas, right?
Yeah.
And there, a lot of them are very, very hot. I mean, they're very good looking, these women.
Yeah, like it's on, like, why are you, like,
what did you want a 15-year-old boy for? I don't know, but they do.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. Like, me and my wife, because, you know, my wife's a teacher, we talk about it sometimes, and she don't get it either. It's, like, strange.
It is. Now, think about, normally here now, we arrest them. In France, they just get married and she slaps him around. I don't know. Anyway, it's look, it's weird.
Yeah, it's just
goes,
strange.
It just goes to show you these people are not normal. They are not like us. They are not normals. These global liberal elites, they're a breed apart.
They're above us. They don't. That's the way they see themselves to us. So they just do whatever they want.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, you got to hear this. Okay, this was a top 10 in the nation story. This was crazy. I had to click on it. Headline: former Arkansas police chief serving time for murder and rape escapes from prison in Arkansas by dressing in a fake law enforcement uniform and sneaking out. They've got video of him. He's just like rolling this looking garbage looking thing and he walks right out. Right.
I'm surprised he's still alive.
Well,
being the police chief in prison.
Well, crazy. I know. And get this, he's a rapist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the okay. This is crazy. He gets put in prison for a, you know, October 2017, first degree murder in connection with the shooting death of a guy by the name of James Appleton, who worked for the Gateway Water Department and was talking to his brother-in-law on the telephone, was pulled over by some officer, shot in the head, you know, and they stopped. And they find out the police chief did it, right? So get this. They process this guy, you know, fingerprint him, take his DNA. He's the police chief. They've got him. He basically execution style killed a guy he pulled over, thought he'd get away with it, right? Well, when they run his DNA, he's the police chief. When they run his DNA, they realize he was the rapist in a 1997 rape of an elementary school teacher in Rogers, just north of Fayetteville. And they didn't realize it at the time. So this guy, an what? Actual wanted rapist, who they'd never been able to identify, had managed to work his way up to be the police chief.
Oh, my God.
I know.
That's terrible.
Yeah, so they got him for life, and he's out somewhere, I don't know, running around right now. Hopefully they get him.
They haven't caught him yet?
No.
Oh,
he's running
no.
around.
Oh, man. Y'all need to catch him.
Yeah. So, crazy world we live in. Gotta tell you. Oh, my gosh. I used to love a song. You gotta fight for your right to party. Hope you partied over Memorial Day weekend. I know I had a great time. Okay, got to be serious. Got to do a show. You having trouble tuning into work this morning? Yeah, you're still on Memorial Day weekend time. Yeah, me too. I'm same thing. Okay, folks, but I'm not distracted. Here's the thing. While the left and Jake Tapper and CNN try to distract you with the scandal of, oh, did we miss Biden's cognitive decline? Guess that wasn't a conspiracy theory. Shucks. Right. They're covering up the real scandal, which, to his credit, Jake Tapper did kind of mention in his book, who was running the country. We've been asking that for 4 years. A group called the Politburo. Group is called the Politburo. Even liberal Axios admits this now. Who was a part of the Politburo? Who was I? Ah, Hunter Biden. Damn. No. Hunter, but the guy with the laptop, the one who took $20 million from the communist Chinese, that guy? In just, by the way, one installment. He was in it for tens of millions across other deals. That guy. Yeah. That guy. Yep. And two others, according to the New York Post. You want to read all about it? The article is, here are the Politburo members who are really running the Biden White House. Now, according to this, Hunter had tremendous control over his father and his father's decision-making while he was in the White House. Let me go back and play something from last week. Okay, so Hunter took, what, $20 million from the Chinese in a single deal. That was the one the IRS was investigating him for money laundering for in the one deal. But remember, the Chinese cut him into all kinds of deals all over the world through Bohai Harvest, a lot of them rare earth minerals deals. So Joe is putting the rare, or was it Hunter? Putting the rare earth minerals mines off limits inside of the U.S. while China is cutting Hunter and Bohai Harvest in on their mineral deals all over the world. So they'd give him like 1% of the deal. He'd do nothing. Well, that really changes things when you find out he was part of the Politburo about four people running the White House. Now, let me play this for you. This is what the Chinese told Scott Bessent last week when they met with him. And Bessent said, look, you cut a trade deal with America, but you never honored it. Why? Listen.
But in January 2020, President Trump produced a template. We had an excellent trade agreement with China, and the Biden administration chose not to enforce it. The Chinese delegation basically told us that once President Biden came into office, they just ignored their obligations. So,
of course they did, because Hunter was running the place. They'd paid him off. Folks, this is the scandal right there. There's your scandal. That's what they don't want to talk about. Now, it gets even crazier because the article everybody should be talking about today, we should laser focus on this. Those of you who use me for show prep, do this one. Read every word of it. Miranda Devine's article this morning. What does the article say? We have not a lot of time left, basically months, or the FBI folks who did Crossfire Hurricane, but who also covered up Hunter Biden's crimes and covered up the laptop, which documented those crimes, they are nearing the statute of limitations. Now, notice what's happening, okay? Headline, and you want to read this, you should read this. Miranda Devine, excellent investigative reporter at the New York Post. FBI agents who covered up Hunter Biden's laptop in 2020 must not get away with it. They put a guy who laundered the bribery money he collected on Joe's behalf from the Chinese. They put that guy in the White House. They're about to get away with it. Now, what did Cash Patel and Dan Bongino announce over the weekend? Oh, we're going to have, we're not letting this stuff go. We're going to have public corruption investigations. I went, great. And I clicked to see, well, what are we investigating? Oh, the cocaine baggie. We're going to get to the bottom of whose it was. No, wrong. No, that is too far down the priority line. No, 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 no. You're not fooling us with that stupid stuff. Oh, and we're going to investigate who leaked the abortion decision from the Supreme Court. Well, I mean, it'd be nice to know that, but that's not a priority. That's not even illegal. This. Oh, yeah, that's not on the list. You know what? Screw you. Screw both of you. You're not going to put that on the list? Quit. Resign. Let somebody else do it. You're not serious. You're just not. That's what you're going to do. Now, they say they're going to try to get the pipe bomber too. FBI knows who that is. That's a good investigation. You know why? It's going to lead right back to the FBI. That's good. Let's do that. Not good enough, guys. Not good enough, Bongino. Not good enough, Patel. We are not falling for that. You need to be, number one, Crossfire Hurricane. Number two, we are still within the statute of limitations on this. These FBI agents who were crooked put Hunter in the White House. Not Joe, Hunter. Headline, FBI agents who covered up Trump's Biden laptop in 2012. Okay, remember, what was on the laptop? What do I keep telling you? Our side is not telling this right. Oh, he's Hunter and some hookers. Yeah, okay, whatever. Who cares? It was Hunter and some cocaine. Yeah, okay. Who cares? Cocaine, nobody cares. What was on the laptop? The Chinese deals, the money laundering that the IRS was investigating at a felony level. What kind of money? The Chinese money. They bought Hunter and he ran out to White House. And what did they do? They hired the rest of the members of the Politburo. Here's who ran the country. Mike Donilon, profoundly corrupt individual. Look him up. He's been a Biden advisor for a while. Steve Ricchetti and Bruce Reed, Jill Biden and Hunter Biden, two profoundly compromised people. Now, what do we learn from the IRS whistleblowers as documented on the laptop that the FBI lied about? What do we learn? That they took the money and they laundered the money. And we know they laundered it because he didn't pay taxes on it. That's the definition of money laundering. See, I just connected it all. And Dan Bongino and Cash Patel appear to be letting these people get away with it. She's frantic. She's saying, we've got to get these guys now. Now, here's the outrageous. Oh, I'm out of time. You know what? I'll explain it on the other side. I'll tell you what is so outrageous about what these FBI officials are about to get away with. Because we got yet another classified document declassified over the weekend. I'll tell you what it said. It's going to blow your mind up next.